Amen. Thank you. Welcome. Man, I am so glad that you are here. Let's do something a little different. Can we not only welcome all of our locations, but can we welcome all of our visitors that are at one of our locations? Would you do that with me? Welcome, guys. It is good to have you. Well, I have begun a new series entitled Mind Renewal. Mind Renewal, and I want to encourage everyone that if you weren't with us for the first two sessions, you can go to our Victory Life Church app or Pastor Dwayne app, and you can download all of our messages, these messages and any other message that we have given absolutely free. And so I want to encourage even our visitors to go to the website. And again, there's over 1,400 messages absolutely free. And that ought to help somebody, amen? So that's awesome. Well, I want to continue sharing on the importance of mind renewal, and specifically the process of mind renewal, and some essentials of mind renewal, because a lot of good people believe they're renewing their mind to the things of God, and they're not actually participating in the renewing of their minds. They think they are, but they're not seeing the results. They're not seeing the transformation that is promised that we've already looked at, that if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, your spirit's born again. But now the part of you that is in the process of being saved is your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, your thoughts. On and on I could go with the soulical part of us that is in the process of being renewed. And the Bible teaches that the transformation of our lives in Romans chapter 12 literally comes through the renewal of our minds. So if you're not experiencing change, if you're not experiencing a progressive transformation, then your mind is technically not being renewed, because God keeps His promises, amen? And when I don't see progressive change in my own life, I've got to push the restart button and go, now wait a minute, am I really yielding to the essentials that are a part of true mind renewal? Because mind renewal is not natural, it's supernatural. There's a lot of things good Christians are doing that they think they're renewing their mind by doing it, and it's just a part of what it takes to renew the mind. Did you know just going to church won't renew your mind? Boy, y'all act like you got that one. I didn't expect that response, but a lot of people go to church and they think just because they're sitting here, their minds are being renewed, and that's why they're not seeing their lives change. There's a part to going to church. Church plays a role in the process of renewing your mind, but just coming doesn't renew the mind. Mind renewal is not just a matter of information, Bible information. I know lots of people that probably know more what the Bible says than I know, but they're meaner than a snake, amen? They're mad all the time. They're unfruitful. They're bitter. On and on I could go with, it's not just more information. Mind renewal involves revelation of the mind into the mind and transformation, literally, of the mind. Not just what we think, but how we think. We need a biblical perspective versus a secular perspective of God, His kingdom, ourselves, each other. And on I could go with how important not just what we think on in its effect on the mind, but how do we think? How do we perceive things? How do we approach things? What is your perspective of God? Man, there's people that have been in church their whole life, but they really don't know God. They know about God, but they don't have an information or revelation of God. And there's a difference in knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. There are people I meet all the time that they think they know me because they've heard about me. And man, when they talk about me and describe me, I don't like me either. Amen. There are things said about you that are not true. And until someone gets to know you personally, they might believe and have that perspective of you. We have so many perspectives that are corrupted within the body of Christ by the world and by the old man and by the old life and by the lack of understanding of mind renewal. So let's walk through the process. I'm just going to overview this, and I'm going to resist the temptation to get stuck on one of these five. I just want to highlight these. I'm going to come back to one of them specifically and cover it in detail in some other sessions, but I just don't want to overwhelm you with this. I don't want you, if you're new to your relationship with the Lord, or maybe you're just learning some of these things, I don't want you to feel like, oh my goodness, I've got to do all five of those in order to really be transformed. No, these are all a part of our life as a Christian, that are rhythms of grace in our life. They're disciplines that after you walk with the Lord for a season, you'll begin to see these five things begin to develop in your life, and it speeds up this process of mind renewal. So don't let any of it overwhelm you. Some of it won't be new to many of you, but other things I do believe God wants to speak to us. So let's look at five essentials involved in the renewing of our minds. Number one, and it is the one that is number one, is God's Word. God's Word. Mind renewal begins and ends where the Word of God is known. Just like faith begins and ends where the Word of God is known. God's Word is His thoughts, we've seen. So if I'm going to have my thoughts renewed, what am I going to have them renewed to? God's thoughts. So I need to know God's thoughts. They're discovered in His Word. I need to know God's will. God's Word is His will. And if I'm going to get my will renewed and in agreement with God's will, I got to know God's will. Where do I find God's will? In His Word. If I'm going to change my ways and the tracks that have been laid down in my soul that really are the ways of the world, they may sound good, they may sound right, but if the world laid that track in my mind, then I assure you God's ways are different than that track that's been laid. So I've got to have a working knowledge of God's Word. I've got to understand the importance of God's Word and how to relate and even approach God's Word properly. Hearing God's Word is the only way faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't believe God beyond your knowledge of God. And the Word of God brings us a knowledge of God. We have to sow God's Word. Mark chapter 4, that it was God's Word that gets sown in our heart, that seed has the power in it. Once it gets lodged inside of our heart, it changes us. It affects us. It does something supernatural on the inside of us. And so learning to sow God's Word in your heart as seed is a part of mind renewal. Speaking God's Word is a part of mind renewal. I'll get into this in a little detail when I talk about Christian meditation. That Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And we tend to read something like that or think about something like that, and we go to listening to everybody else and trying to become police cops and monitor speech and get on to people for what's coming out of their mouth, not realizing the doubt and unbelief, the corruption that's coming out of our own mouth because our hearts. When I hear myself talking a certain way, I have to be honest and stop for a minute and go, wait a minute, maybe I don't have God's Word in there like I thought I had it in there, because listen to how I'm talking. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you get the Word of God in your heart and it gets planted in your heart, then your speech will begin to change. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Scriptures say, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to learn to hear God's Word. And what does that mean? We need to learn to sow God's Word. We need to learn to share God's Word, to speak God's Word. And right here, we need to learn to study God's Word and the importance of studying it, because you got to rightly divide it. Everybody understand there's two major divisions, Old Covenant, New Covenant. Man, you'll spend the rest of your life making sure you're rightly dividing those two covenants. And on I could go with how important it is that we learn how to approach the Word even in study, where we're listening to God and we're allowing God to supernaturally work in our hearts, His Word that supernaturally changes our lives. I can't tell how many people, and I love them, I've even got good friends, that they'll come up with their own idea and beliefs and they'll try to go to the Word of God to prove what they believe. That is not how we approach the Word of God. We need to learn to approach the Word of God reverently and let it form what we believe. Not believe first and try to go prove with certain text something we believe versus allowing God to really change our beliefs progressively. Is there anybody honest enough that could admit that you believe a little different today than you did at least 10 years ago? How about 5 years ago? That's not bad. How about a year ago? Okay, it's dwindling a little bit. How about a month ago? How about right now? If I do my job under the anointing and your heart is right and it's good ground and I share the unadulterated word of God, pure seed, the possibility of change is beginning already. It's not going to happen just by sitting here, but if you don't abort the seed I'm sowing, in time you're going to bear much, much fruit. So we need to learn to read the scriptures, but just reading the Bible is not mind renewal. It's important. It's a part. But again, we do need to read it. We do need to accept it. And this is where I'm going to end this one here in just a second. And then we've got to act on it. Now listen to this. James chapter 1 says, if we're hearers of the word only, then we deceive ourselves. Did everybody hear that? So how many of you know just hearing the word and even believing the word is not going to renew your mind? Mind renewal evidently is a part of acting on the word, not just memorizing it, not just telling everybody what it says. Amen or oh me. Deception is a part of the mind. So it is possible to be a hearer of the word and thinking you're renewing your mind, but you're not acting on what you're hearing. You're not applying what you're hearing, and your mind is not being renewed. I don't know any other way to say it. This confuses people, but you're just becoming religious. And I know that throws people, but we don't want to be religious. And again, well, what in the world does that mean? You people aren't religious down there? I'm talking about just man's ideas about God and man's traditions about God. And we coming up with how we approach God and we coming up with how we get blessed by God. I'm just talking about dead religion, rituals, traditions, and thinking we know what God said but have no idea what He meant. That's just being religious. And the way you cure that is through mind renewal. How you do that? Start acting on the Word instead of wishing everybody else would act on the Word. I said a lot right there. I'm in a hurry. Please give me a hand. Lie to me. Just lie. Just lie. Because I need to hurry here. But I can't tell how many people are in the process supposedly of having their mind renewed. And they learn something about God. And all they want to do is correct everybody else in that area. Or demand that everybody else be what you read instead of becoming what you read. Till the Word of God gets in your fingernails, you have not had your mind renewed to it. And I hope that connects with somebody. Revelation 1:3. This is powerful now. Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Please don't. It's like chalk on a board to me. There's very few things that bug me. Really, I'm serious, even in life. But when people go, well, I was in the book of Revelations. It's not a bunch of revelations. That's what's wrong. It's the revelation of Jesus and His overcoming church. And I'm sorry. I'm working on my mind. How many of you know mind renewal is your attitude? And I just made an adjustment. I just made an adjustment on the fly. Blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is ahead. One verse there. There is a blessing on reading the Bible. I can't explain it, but it begins the process of mind renewal, because at least you're yielding your mind over to God and His Word, giving Him an opportunity to supernaturally change your thought processes, change your attitude, change your perspective, change how you're viewing your world, yourself, your God, your fellow man. And then I love it. He says, blessed is he that reads this book of prophecy, and blessed is he that hears it, and blessed is he that does what it says. Yeah. Amen. I just like that. All right. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Psalms 119, 105. So God's Word and the renewing of my mind to the Word, or allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate me to the Word of God, actually changes the direction of my life. It changes my path. It changes, again, my ways. In Psalms 119, verse 11, this is powerful. He says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against you. Man, anybody besides me want to at least sin less? I haven't arrived yet. I mean, I messed up the other day. But I want to sin less. I'm not sinless. But I do want to sin less. Well, what did he just say? If I'll hide his word in my heart, there's something about sowing the word. There's something about attending to the word. There's something about submitting to the word truly in my heart, that if I'll hide it, see if it'll take root, it'll keep me from sinning against God. That's pretty powerful. And so there's the power of God's word. This is the secret. There's a point in our lives that we all have to settle this. Is God's word final authority or not? Am I going to believe God over myself, my family, the world, all these different cultural issues? When does God's word become final authority in our lives? Listen, lots of people go to church, but God's word is not final authority in their lives. They don't believe the Bible is the truth. They don't believe the Bible is the word of God. And anyone who will really study it, really submit themselves to it, man, once you even get in the Old Testament and the hundreds of prophecies that were made thousands of years before they came to pass, and they came to pass exactly like God said they would through different authors and different times, there's a point where your brain just lights up and goes, you know what, this book's supernatural. This book is the Word of God. And if I want to know what God's thoughts are, they're right there. And I'm going to take his thoughts and accept his thoughts over mine. Number two, Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit in true mind renewal. Look at this, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, so the Word of God is truth, John 17:17. Now the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how much truth? I dare to believe that. It's a goal. I haven't arrived either, but I believe the number one manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life is you being guided into truth. Now, when's the last time you heard somebody stand up and say, let me give you the primary manifestation of the Holy Spirit? We just go off a cliff from this point into a whole lot of different things. But Jesus said the number one thing the Holy Spirit would do when I send him, he's going to lead you, he's going to guide you, he's going to illuminate your mind. He's the one that's going to take the word that is seed and water that seed where you're guided now into not some truth, not a little truth, all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now, I believe the things to come here, I don't have time to massage this, but I really believe the things to come he was talking about wasn't talking about thousands of years later, even though I believe God shows us things to come. He was talking about the new creation realities. He was talking about the kingdom and the different dimension of the kingdom that's coming and who you'll be in the kingdom. And everything Jesus is gets transmitted to you through this new birth. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to transmit. He goes on to talk about that. All the things of Jesus that have been paid for, it's the Holy Spirit that shows me this stuff's real. It really matters. I really am what he said I am. You know, you can, with your brain, train it to think more than a conqueror. But when the Holy Spirit takes that word and brings and breathes, see, the Holy Spirit's a living thing. The Word of God is dormant. It's seed. It's dormant. It's dormant right now as I sow it into your heart. It has to find ground to activate its life. The Word that's in your spirit, the Word that's in your heart, the other part of your heart, is voice activated. And when the Holy Spirit speaks and you agree, it's like voice activating that seed where it goes from the letter or dormant seed to life. And who can explain that? There's just one day you wake up and you go, I am a world overcomer. Why am I whining? Why am I bellyaching? Why in the world did I let the devil lie to me and convince me I'm a victim, when the Holy Spirit has truly nailed it on the inside of me? I am a victor, not a victim. I'm an overcomer, not overcome. I'm a winner. I have won life's lottery in Jesus. See, if those are just my words, they won't affect you and they won't renew your mind. But if any of those seeds get in your heart and the Holy Spirit waters them, that's the change that's miraculous. And after all these years, I think I understand it. I've learned to cooperate with it more, and I'm seeing great things in my life, but I still can't quite figure out when there's just that moment it goes from the letter that kills to the Spirit that gives life. There's just that moment when it's, nobody told me this. Yeah, God used somebody. And I heard them speak, but it wasn't until I really heard the Holy Spirit confirm and the Holy Spirit activate that seed with speaking on the inside of me that, Dwayne, this is who you are. Dwayne, this is what you have. Dwayne, this is what you can do. Everybody in here can quote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But a few of you have had your mind renewed to it. And so when the devil and life slaps you upside the head, you slap back. The rest of you, it's in your head. But the devil slaps you and there you go to whining and belly aching and poor me. And it just doesn't work for me. And I don't know if that's really true or not. And you haven't had your mind renewed. Well, don't talk to me like that. I've been in church for 40 years. See, that's how people think. It's like that guy said to me years ago again. I didn't mean to be mean, but he said, I've been thinking this way, young man, longer than you've been alive. And I couldn't help it. The thought, I feel bad about these things, but I mean, the thought came to me, that's a long time to be dumb. How could you sit in church longer than I've been alive and be this dumb? Now, that offends people, and I don't mean to, but I'm telling you, there are dumb people that go to church. And see, those dumb people want me to attack everybody in sin in the world instead of challenging them. Let's don't be dumb no more. Let's get our minds renewed. Because I don't mean it to be mean. You've met them. Some of you saw them in the mirror today. Let it go. Let it go. He's going to lead us into all truth, and there are scriptures on truth. The Word of God is truth. Again, it's the letter that kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, till the Holy Spirit, till you yield, till you quit grieving the Holy Spirit, till you quit quenching the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 tells you the things that quench the Holy Spirit. You need to go read them. I've already dug a hole. I don't want to throw dirt on myself here. It shocks people, the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. But it's written right out there in Ephesians chapter 4, what grieves the Holy Spirit. Till you quit grieving the Holy Spirit, till you quit resisting God. I don't believe anybody here within the sound of my voice is in rebellion. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be watching and attending a location. You wouldn't be listening to me right now if you were in rebellion. But I'm telling you, resistance runs deep within the body of Christ. Resistance to God's thoughts, resistance to God's ways. I'm talking about among good people. Again, that man was sincere. He had believed a certain way for so long. He thought that if you believe long enough the wrong way, it'll become right. If you're believing wrong, if you're thinking wrong, thinking that way longer won't make it right. It's kind of like my preaching. How many of you know if it isn't any good, going longer won't make it better? Cut it short. Hallelujah. All right. Prayer. Number three, prayer. Here's where I'm going to come back. It's an essential in mind renewal. I did a series on Lord Teach Us to Pray. I was so disappointed coming up. And a lot of the things I learned finally, and a lot of the things the Lord began to renew my mind to, and I began to study, and I began to see, it was like I felt cheated. How could I go to church? And I heard almost every service to pray. I knew I was supposed to pray, but nobody taught me how to pray. And how important that is, that you learn how to pray, that you learn different kinds of prayer for different situations, different forms of prayer, and what prayer really is. Because I had an attitude about prayer. I had a mindset. I had a perception about prayer that was locking me into to defeat. And it wasn't until the Lord began to open my mind and I began to search things out and learn some things about, my goodness, what I had been calling prayer my whole life was murmuring and complaining. I thought I was praying. And all I was doing was whining. All I was doing was belly aching. How could I spend over a decade in what I called prayer trying to change God's mind? Think about that. Do you know how many people have lived their whole life and they think prayer is me either begging God, and if I cry long enough, if I pray hard enough and long enough, I'll pull on God's heartstring and he'll give me what I want. Or we're praying trying to convince God this is a good idea. Sign off. Please. I want this. This will be good for me. What is wrong with you? Now, I know y'all don't pray like that. I know you know better. But to find out that if I want to see my prayers answered, find out what God's will is before I pray, and pray His will, which is His word, and I'll get that because God's already promised it. All my life, ending my prayer with, if it be thy will, canceling out my prayer with doubt and unbelief. If you really will, and to find out I shouldn't even start to pray till I know His will, was a transformation in my thinking, totally. Praying in the Spirit and what that's really all about. How could we be this far into Spirit-filled church and this far into a movement and too many of us still don't even understand what praying in the Spirit's all about and how that's your private prayer life and language and that your mind is unfruitful, but you're supposed to pray that you interpret, that your mind become fruitful. All those kind of things I had to learn. Meditation, highest form of prayer in the Bible. And I will spend a whole hour on this. I'll come back to it. Beholding God's glory. That's a form of prayer. Learning how to focus. Learning how to focus in prayer on God's goodness. And so again, meditation is one of them. I want to come back to that because I didn't even know that the hours I was spending meditating was prayer. And so I was feeling bad when people would talk about praying for an hour, and I couldn't pray for an hour. There's a whole movement. I got to pray for an hour, or I'm toast. And man, 15 minutes, I'm out of something to say. And so you feel bad. It's like, man, I must be carnal. I prayed for mama. I prayed for the dog. I prayed for next year's hunting trip. I've prayed for everything that's important. And then to find out that Christian meditation is a form of prayer, and that I had spent hours every day praying, meditating on God, meditating on how much He loved me, meditating on one verse, and that I'd rather know what that one verse says, what it means, and act on it than to read half the Bible in one day and have no idea what I just read. And I'm not putting down reading the Bible. I'm trying to make a point that Christian meditation, first time I taught on Christian meditation, I caused a little bit of an uproar. I mean, I had people coming up to me, that sounds a little bit like that Middle Eastern stuff. Does everybody understand the Bible came out of the Middle East? Does everybody understand all the authors came out of the Middle East? Okay, I just want to make sure. Number four. We need our minds renewed. This is an essential in mind renewal. And you have to discipline yourself in being thankful. A lot of the young people that have improved as they've become fathers and mothers even coming up under the church and learning things that they were taught, but taking it to deeper levels. I get so excited even with my own kids and having dinner with the kids, and they're going around the table with, give us two things you're thankful for. And every day they have to get up and give two things, at least they're, am I messing up? You're looking at me funny. I'm good. Two things that they're, Holy Ghost and wives will lead you into all truth, man. Come on, somebody. Help me out. You have to learn and train in the presence of God your mind to naturally go positive versus naturally going negative. You have to train, and you have to discipline your mind in thanksgiving to be optimistic about things versus pessimistic, to truly feel no matter what's happening to you, God's going to work it together for my good. See, how can we really have our minds renewed to Romans 8:28? And all of us can have a weak moment in a pity party. All of us can have a weak moment of the flesh. Did you hear me say that? But there's a point where if your mind is really on all things, God will work all things together for your good. If you love Him, and I do, and you're called according to His purpose, and I am, then no matter how bad this feels or looks, it's not good, and it may not be God, but I have the promise He's going to work it together for my good. And so I'm still not going to thank Him for what happened, but I am going to thank Him in what happened for His deliverance, for my victory, for my growth. There is absolutely no reason for us to be depressed on a regular basis, pessimistic, murmuring and complaining. We don't have anything to complain about. And as soon as you start coming up with your excuses, they're not going to fly with me. I love you. I won't be mean to you. But you can't come up with any reason to be in the mully grubs if you know Jesus. Not with me. You just can't. Yeah, but this is what they did to me. So? Just get over it. I'm a little more sensitive than that, but get over it. I just better move on. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pastor, what's God's will in my situation? Give Him thanks. No, I got this problem, and it's all crashing in on me. What am I going to do? I'm telling you what to do. In it, give Him thanks. And see, it's like their brain goes into neutral. They're not even getting what I'm trying to tell them, because their mind has been programmed to go on a certain track that the world and the old man laid, that till you blow that track up and until you allow God to lay the right track of, look, I am going to be thankful for my spouse. How many, I love you and I need to hurry, I'm running out of time, bless my heart, but how many people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many people have said in our church, and I know you've got marital problems, I'm not insensitive to that, but what bothers me is, what have I not said to help you work it out and walk it out, and why do you refuse still to be thankful for your spouse? You were thankful for them at the altar. They were fine then. Maybe they're a mess now because they've been with you all these years. Come on, that was good. That was good. I need to write that down. I need to remember that one. That sounds like a good counseling zinger. Well, they were fine when you met them. Well, maybe you messed them up. We need to be thankful for our kids. We need to be thankful for our jobs. I don't care if it's not what you're believing for, at least be thankful that you have one while you're trusting God to get the one you want. There's just no reason, except we haven't had our minds renewed. Everybody knows these scriptures. I need to hurry here, but go on, please. I've covered these, and these, I mean, it says in Philippians 4, think on things that are virtuous and true and lovely. If there be any praise, think on these things. The New Living or the New King James Bible says meditate on these things. And sometimes you have to arrest your thoughts. Because remember, everything starts with a thought. If you don't arrest that baby, it's gonna birth an emotion. And by then it's a little harder, but that's gonna birth an action. And that action is gonna birth fruit in your life, good or bad. So everything starts with these seeds of thoughts. So you have to stop in the middle of your challenges, your circumstances, and arrest your thoughts and replace your thoughts with God's thoughts. The Holy Spirit will begin to renew your mind where your emotions... Do you know, I can remember when it was harder emotionally to forgive people than it is today to carry a grudge. My emotions have changed so much, it is easier to let things go and just forgive people because of the emotional stress with carrying unforgiveness that I carried for years. Once I got my mind renewed to this, my emotions got healed. And yeah, what they did to me hurt me. And yeah, it took a few minutes. I had something happen to me really, really bad. I don't want to even give a timeline. And it took me an hour and a half. It took me an hour and a half that this ain't right. This is not true about me. And I deserve better than this. And that's a lie. And that's an hour and a half. That's not good. But then when it was over, it was like my emotions, because I gathered my thoughts and allowed God to continually be renewing my mind, that there was a point where not only was I able to truly forgive, I didn't have any emotional stress over it anymore. A lot of people think that's impossible. And it is without the renewal of your mind. It is impossible without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible without embracing the truth with all of your heart. And that forgiveness is easier, no matter what's happened to you, than unforgiveness and carrying that. All right. The last one, and here's where I want to get to. That was my introduction. This is where I see so many people failing. They don't understand repentance and the role repentance plays in the renewing of our minds. Repentance literally means a change of mind and direction. And that can't happen without correction and instruction. Now, I got two scriptures I have to get to here. I gave you references. Look at, this is Proverbs 6:23. Watch this. For the commandment is a lamp. That's another way of saying God's word is light to us, okay? God's word, the commandment, God's word is a lamp. And the law is light. Watch this. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, notice I colored that, and that is not pink. I wouldn't allow pink on my screen. This is magenta. I'm still renewing my mind to this. It's magenta. Look at Proverbs 10:17. He is in, there it is again, the way of life that keepeth what? Doesn't just sit and get instructed. Keeps the instruction. But he that refuses reproof erreth or goes awry, one translation says. So, a vital part, and I'm telling you, this is where I'm going to lose 80% of even good people. And I'm serious about this. A vital part, an essential to what we are discussing about mind renewal is a continual process the rest of your life. Until you understand instruction and correction and reproof as a way of life, you're not going to change. You're not going to grow. In Revelation, I hope it's the next... There is a way that seemeth right unto man. The end thereof are the ways of death. It takes a lot of humility to repent, to yield your thoughts to God. The reason you're where you're at now is because at one point you were teachable. And the reason you're going no further is nobody can tell you anything. You're not open to correction. In the book of Revelation, there are 10 calls to repentance. 7 times Jesus himself said it. And that word repent in the Greek means to think differently. Jesus said to the 5 out of the 7 churches, he said, repent. Think differently. And if you don't change your mind, there's going to be consequences. And yet, even this, if everybody embraced it, which would be my heart's desire, but I'm a realist in these areas, I realize not everybody's going to embrace this even. Because again, I've met people, there is no smoke in the room unless it's coming out of their chimney. Okay, let that sink in. I'm not talking about us as a family now, a church family. We're just going to be jumping on each other all the time and critically correcting each other and rebuking and reproofing each other. Did you hear me say that? That is not what these scriptures are saying about the way of life. It's talking about if you want to be all God's called you to be, if you want to fulfill His divine purpose for your life, you're going to have to approach your entire life every day looking for correction. Looking for something to change in your mind or improve or adjust. Or you're just flat wrong. And it takes humility to even engage in any of that. And yet, who are the people that are changing the world? Who are the people that are fulfilling destiny? Who are the people that are making the mega major difference? If you could really know them and how they've lived their life, they're open to the Holy Spirit correcting them constantly. They're open to people who love them, helping them and instructing them. Not bossing them, not smarter than them, not self-righteous over them, but people that really love them, that they're walking with, that, you know what, I'm not seeing that quite right. I'm willing to adjust. Pride is keeping people locked into death, into not being able to change, going through the motions, even at church, reading the Bible through the motions, because they're unwilling to go, you know what? I was wrong about that. You know what? I didn't treat my wife right there. Again, those that are close to me that went through something else I went through recently, I'm telling the truth here. You're going to laugh at me. Please don't laugh at me. But this situation that I was facing, another situation, saints, I know I was 95 and the church was 95% right on a situation. But what good would it have done if I'd have bowed up about our 95% right? They wouldn't have grown and had any hope. We wouldn't have grown. But what if I'm willing to face the 5% and go, you know what? We were wrong there. I was wrong there. Oh, if you do that, you'll open up a floodgate, and they'll use it over you. They'll see how our brain just goes into stupid instead of just repenting. Instead of saying, you know what? I didn't handle that right. Would you forgive me? Now I don't have a problem. Now I'm going to grow. Now I'm going to learn from that. The person who doesn't forgive me not only is stuck in their 95% wrong in their pride and not going to change or grow, they didn't even receive the lifeline I just threw. Amen. With showing them what humility looks like. Humility says, I was wrong. And I can remember when that used to be so painful. I'm going a little over here. I'm trying to make a strong point here. Only you can judge your heart. And if you've sensed that bowing up anytime anything's brought to your attention, that's pride. You're hindering the Holy Spirit from renewing your mind in every situation. I'm not saying we walk around and let everybody run over us. I'm not saying we say we're wrong when we're not wrong. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about correction is a way of life. Do you know why most pastors, only 1 out of 10 pastors make it? Correction's not a way of life. Do you know why people attend church for a few years and quit? Correction didn't become a way of life. Man, did anybody get anything? Hallelujah. I wish I could unpackage that a little better and more. Because I know it takes a lot of explanation. But learn to repent. Just learn to say, okay, I messed up. And you can't mess up in action without messing up in thinking. And you can't change your action until you change your thinking. Amen. Praise God. Man, I just wish I could make every one of you stand up and repent. Just make you do it. Make you say, I'm sorry for stealing your parents' money for drugs. Repent to them. Repent to your kids for holding it over them for stealing your money for their drugs. Amen. Because you were wrong in holding it over them. Yeah, what they did was wrong. See, I could just go on all night. Oops. Thank you, Father. I haven't done that in a long time. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us all to lean into these five essentials, to develop these over the next few years of our lives, that we're committed as a family to work this stuff out, to walk this stuff out. I thank you for the growth I'm seeing in so many of the young people. They're so teachable. They're so humble. Help them to maintain that as a way of life, not just a season in their life. Thank you, Jesus, for working in all of our hearts and lives. Amen and amen.